what's happening. That's not what's happening at all. You're not taking the threat seriously. You're not. And Donald Trump knows this. Donald Trump knows that there will be no repercussions, neither from within white society, nor from within black society. Why shouldn't he do all of the terrible, cruel, naughty, sadistic things to you that he wants to? There will be no consequences. You are fighting generational wealth. You are fighting what his father owned and controlled and passed down to his son. If you want to know why single mothers are such a scourge and a curse and a plague on black people, it is because while Donald Trump over the last 40 years, as white men have been acquiring power, wealth, and influence, the bastard baby maker generation did not teach their sons to do the same thing. They did not teach their sons to do that at all. They taught their sons to get hairstyles. They taught their sons that while Donald Trump is building the New York business district, they taught their sons to build the Cali swag district. Or whatever it is. Tell me how well your swag district is doing when the police roll up and put you in jail for a crime you did not commit. And Donald Trump, can you imagine that, by the way? Everybody out there, I want you to think about what mental torment this is for a person. That you are sitting in jail for a crime you know you did not commit. And Donald Trump is on television and bought a full-page ad in the newspaper, which he did, by the way, bought a full-page ad in the newspaper, in the New York Daily News, bought a full-page ad saying to bring back the death penalty, bring back our police. Now, by the way, the woman did not die, not saying that what happened to her was not terrible. She wasn't dead. He wanted the death penalty anyway for these guys, for these young teenagers. Can you imagine what that's like to be sitting in jail facing serious time? Serving serious time with some jackass on TV and in the newspaper saying that they shouldn't have put you in jail, they should have put you to death for a crime that you did not commit. And now imagine what it's like after all has been said and done, and now that everybody knows it was a lie, there are still people out there saying that you should be put in jail and put to death anyway. You need to understand the ramifications of your actions, teaching sons to be weak while Donald Trump and his people are living by social Darwinism, survival of the absolute strongest. And they are now executing that against you and your children. You are a traitor. You are a plague to black people if you are not building power and wealth for your children. How many of you bastard baby-making super sluts out there have anything to pass on to your children at all? Because Donald Trump's got something to pass on to his kids, so that they can go into a third generation of organized bigotry through the economy. They are prepared. He is already starting the third generation of organized economic bigotry. Bastard baby makers, what is your response to that? Since you strong and independent, tell me, how strong and independent are you against Donald Trump right now, who has the ability to lock up your sons or you and tell the whole world it doesn't matter if you were innocent or not? Show me all you whores out here who are raising the boys to be men who fight that. It was white men who put those young men in prison, and it was white men who had to free them, and it was white men who had to give them a settlement for the decade of their lives that they lost. Donald Trump's generational wealth is what did that to them. Where is your generational wealth with which to fight that? We're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines now. The telephone number is 646-787-1933. That's 646-787-1933. That's your personal access code to the Blackest Radio program in existence, the only one of its kind on planet Earth today. Please join us. Let's grab caller from 901. You're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 901, you're on live with the Black Channel. Have you been abducted? Did you grab with the wrong hand this time? What happened? Okay, well, whoever it is out there is playing on my phone, and we don't appreciate that. I should be giving their number out, but I'm not going to do that this time. But you need to stay off my phone. Brothers and sisters, we need intelligent Black people who are going to take on this threat. We need intelligent Black people who are going to deal with these problems and have real actionable plans. Many of you Black males, and you are the ones being targeted by the system, by the way, the females are being overlooked because they know that this is the art of war. And in warfare, you do not have to target the females. You only have to target the males. That's all you have to do. And as Black males, I hear so much cowardice. Trying to speak against spirituality, trying to speak for spirituality and history and meditation and metaphysics, everything except talking about what we're going to do right here in this physical world. That's how cowardly and afraid you are right now. And Donald Trump's physical wealth, physical power, and physical influence are beating your imaginary friends' asses coming and going. Wake up, fellas, and time to start doing something in the real world. Pull your heads out of the sand, stop being afraid, stop being cowardly, and start saying, here's what I'm going to do to take on generational wealth by acquiring some of my... Caller from 562, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Black First TBA, this is Johnny Ace from Cerritos, California.
What's in your mind, brother?
Donald Trump, man, I really don't know what to say that hasn't been said. This is how white supremacy works. We took from you, but we owe you nothing. Oh, it's going to cost the taxpayer so much. Well, I'm not here to rant about him. The point is that we need to do what we need to do. And you were talking about the old man who was, you seem to have a lot of old men on your Facebook page from the civil rights era who have excuses for not doing anything and looking up to spirituality. It seems I'm having problems on my page with the young men who seem to think that chasing white panties is more important. It's just we keep doing things that don't result in wealth, and then we wonder why people like Donald Trump, they can to us. I mean, it's just time for us to grow up.
Well, the thing is, young men are not spiritually refined, so they haven't spent their whole lives retreating into an imaginary haven. These old Black males are failures in life, and that's why they don't talk about their wealth and their assets and what they're going to do in the physical world. Johnny, I'm 37. When was the last time that you, because you're not even 30 yet, when was the last time that you heard a Black male older than myself who was talking about what he was going to do in the physical world to defeat white supremacy? When's the last time you heard that?
I'm in California, so you pretty much already know the answer. Aside from Dr. Claude Anderson, Nobody, really. I really can't remember a time. The only ones, like, of the age range you're talking about are basically trying to get a place with white supremacy instead of actually trying to defeat it and set something up for us. The way the Asians set something up for themselves and the Jews set something up for themselves. And they weren't having these discussions.
So what they essentially told you as young men is that you're on your own. We had you. We gave birth to you. You're on your own.
Not only that, they said you're on your own and can you take care of us? Can you take care of us? We sold you out. We didn't build anything so that you could come back against Donald Trump's like this. Us. That's basically what they said. And that's what they're still saying. It's disgusting. We don't need them. As far as I'm concerned, they're white supremacists, all right? That's why they could get into politics and turn on us so quick. People like John Conyers and Monica Conyers out in Michigan. People like Maxine Waters from my state. I believe she's from my state. I believe she's from California. I'm not sure. Point is, they have no loyalty. And they have a very, very low price tag. White supremacy, you just buy them over and over and over and over again. I don't know where it comes from. Quite frankly, I don't care. At this point, I don't care. I already know that we have black white supremacists among us. All we need to do is just work with the numbers that we have. We made it happen, all right? We made $100,000 happen, and this is only the beginning. I know I'm in quite a bad situation right here, but I'm not giving up on this place yet. But most importantly, I'm not giving up on myself. No matter where I'm at, I got to make up for pretty much every black person in Southern California, with the exception of Mona. It's pretty much just me. Damn sure can't expect any help from my elders.
Just be honest about it. That is the truth of it. The truth is that they are running scared. The truth is that they are afraid to death. Donald Trump shouldn't even be an issue for young black men today in New York. Why is it that your fathers didn't take Donald Trump out and stop him at the State House decades ago? And as young black men, when you go on Facebook, I'm telling you all right now, that's the other thing right there. Johnny, have you noticed the preponderance of older black males on Facebook? Have you noticed that?
Yes. Yes, I have.
I mean, like,
there are
a bunch of teenagers. We got older black males and old black females on Facebook yelling and screaming and cursing and going back and forth with teenagers. How the hell can that be?
Caught Mr. Patrice Lumumba on my Facebook. I know he's about in his 40s, right? Apparently he had time for everything else. He had time for the World Cup, but not time for his responsibility. And that's not just white supremacy. It's raising his kid and his four other kids. It's just...
We have a wealth of old black men who their only real life skill is running their damn mouths.
Exactly.
And what they do is they bring up stuff that is opinion-based. It's intangible. You can't see it or feel it. And that way you can't disprove them. Everything's based on their opinion. And if your opinion is that we do not need to survive or that it's okay if we don't because a better spiritual world awaits, and he's going to tell you that this is not Christianity, this is his spirituality, everything in the physical world don't matter. Life doesn't matter. Poverty doesn't matter. Being raped doesn't matter. Being dejected doesn't matter. Don't you know that when you hear people talking like that, that you are listening to a loser who has already surrendered everything? And that's these old black men on Facebook and Twitter and everything else. They're just hoping they can snatch some dumb gal and that's it. In other words, they've gotten older, but they have not changed. At no point in their life have they focused on gaining power, wealth, and influence. They weren't challenging Donald Trump 40 years ago, and they're not trying to challenge him today.
Exactly. If these people had been on the ball, we could have been like the Jews. And imagine Donald Trump trying to say something like that about the Jews. Wouldn't happen. That's where we should have been. I got to be honest, man. No disrespect to the Jews, but we have much, much, much more to complain about than they do. We have much, much more to use to our advantage than they do. But we weren't using it, particularly because of these older cats. They got time for everything else but what they're supposed to do. And if we keep depending on them, well, things are going to get worse, and they're just going to keep selling us out, selling us out, selling us out. They'll sell us out for anything. This is what we got to deal with all the time.
First, we have to be honest about the fact that this is what they are doing, that the problem is not Donald Trump being a racist. The problem is that Donald Trump is powered. He is powered by generational wealth. That gives him the ability that whether the New York Daily News agrees or not, he can buy a full-page ad. He can talk in your media. He can talk on your TV stations. He can talk on the radio stations. Where are your TV stations? And even if you don't have any, he didn't have any TV stations, he was able to buy time in those places so that he could communicate to the people to execute black men, execute on site for the crime of criminal blackness. Where is our resources to be able to do the same thing? It's okay for him to be sniping at us, but okay, where's our counteroffensive? The Cali Swag District. That is our response to Donald Trump saying, five innocent black men have been arrested. Execute them now. Black people's response to that was Thug Life and the Cali Swag District. These people are taking actions against us in the real world, and our response is Hotep Queen. Hopefully I can get plenty of draws before they come for me. That's their response.
Exactly. And I think where it comes from with the older generation and the younger generation is just a sense of me first instead of black first. Because you see, when white supremacy can get black people to focus on their own individual happiness, gratification, and satisfaction, then they can destroy us all as a race. Because we're not looking at things on a racial scale. We're not looking at ourselves as the poorest people on earth. We're looking at me do me and you do you. And we're just scattered all over the place. You heard that MSNBC host Touré say that there's nothing wrong with there being a million definitions of being black. And you hear these white liberals using their arguments on their comments on message boards and stuff saying, you know, black people are not a monolithic race, but if they can just break us down into individuals, then they can minimize the crimes against us. Oh, who cares if your people were enslaved back then? That has nothing to do with you today. They want to break you down into individuals so they can separate them, the Harriet Tubmans and Sojourner Truths and such, from us and blame us for everything. But it isn't even just about them. It's about black people accepting that individual stuff. That's how the older generation can be that way. They were bought off in the 70s with blaxploitation films, cars, afros, clothes, disco. They have been conditioned for so many years to think only for self. You mentioned what Dr. Dre said during the Death Row days. Oh, I'm only going for self. Got to go for self. Self. We don't think as a unit. In fact, we've had so much propaganda trying to discourage us from thinking as a unit. That's why I say be one. You know? Be one. We got to be one. And these people, they don't know how to be one. They're only themselves individuals, and that's why they can be that way. That's why they have no shame, because as long as they get what they want, damn what anybody else thinks. What can we do with people like that, TBA?
Well, this is why the former coward generations who did nothing, never took on white supremacy, never challenged it, never challenged its authority, and never tried to build up a base of any kind because they were looking for a place in the system, not to overthrow the system. That is what we're doing here. Now, should have been started on 150 damn years ago. Should have been started on back then. But the truth is that black males lost their self-esteem to white supremacy. Can we just be honest? Black males lost their self-esteem. All we knew is that white men had guns, they had big houses, and they had nice clothes. And we felt ashamed because we didn't have any of that. We have felt ashamed ever since then. And we have been fighting every single day since we left those plantations to justify our existence through material therapy by trying to get the big house and the clothes and the guns. For personal use now, the guns are not used against white people now. Use as directed. But that is what we've been trying to do ever since, brother. We have wanted to buy back our self-esteem. But here's the problem. The problem is that we are trying to buy it from white society. We want them to sign off on the papers that say we are valid. That's what we want. And as long as we are looking to them for our validation, you will forever be trying to find a way into their system, not building one for yourself. And that's how they got you.
Exactly. Because I live in a city full of Asians. They came here with nothing. And they saw that white people had something too. But what did they do? They came together, built everything from the ground up. And it's just black people, if we could just learn to do that and depend on each other instead of the white man, then we'd be somewhere. But instead of trying to defeat the system, they're just trying to find their place inside the system. Basically because it helps them be lazy. It helps them, you know, avoid responsibility of doing what we're supposed to do as men, as black men, for our black community. You know, just depending on the system, trying to be a part of the system instead of building a system of our own for us, the way we're supposed to do. Just imagine where we'd be right now. And it would also help every individual in the group, ironically enough, if we would get to where we're supposed to be. But people are allergic to hard work, and they're validating every negative stereotype against us. What can we do?
What we do is we say it's the 21st century. What we do is we say that we are intelligent black society, and coonery and buffoonery will no longer define who and what we are. You know, I've been dealing with some issues here in the past couple of weeks, as you all know. White supremacy in the form of Facebook has decided that 7 a.m. was a bit too successful. So they have decided that they are going to attempt a jihad against me now, and there's coonery and buffoonery in the offing. I've got a bunch of people who, they have sat here, and they were not doing anything productive, and they didn't like the fact that I was able to get my projects off the ground. They didn't like that, so what they've done instead is they've tried to engineer a way of, they were basically wanting to, what they did was they reported like my Facebook, first Jason Black page, for those of you who don't know or whatever, the Jason Black page, Facebook wound up disabling that account. For everybody who doesn't know or didn't get the memo, I didn't just block everybody, Facebook disabled the Jason Black account. which is why I started telling people to be friends on my Black Authority page months ago. Well, now another coon, white supremacist, whatever, it doesn't matter. They want to go after the Black Authority page and whatnot. They reported several posts on Facebook saying I had nudity on them. Yeah, that's right, nudity. Now, you all know I don't even post pictures like that. But nudity. On comments, by the way, these were not even things with pictures on them. Comments that I had made about Barack Obama as president. And that if you're not gay, illegal aliens, or a military contractor, he's not going to do anything for you. That got reported for nudity. I'm not joking. I'm not kidding. That's what it says on my Facebook notifications.
And Facebook, they know what they're doing. They know there was no nudity there. They've chosen their sides. They've chosen their sides, man. I think everybody within our circle has been attacked by Facebook in some sort of way or form. I ultimately think that it's time for us to just build our own platform outside of Facebook. I'm working on mine. I hope everybody else is working on theirs.
I don't mind social media because it has its place and whatnot. I think that we should use Facebook personally, but I think that we need to be more precise, more calculating, and more strategic in the way that we use it. So for everybody listening out there tonight, and for those of you who've been listening later in the recorded broadcast, I want to see about converting my Facebook page, Black Authority, into either a like page or a group page. No more of this personal page stuff. I want to see about converting it to a like page or a group page. And I put up a post earlier today on Facebook. You all can go look it up for yourselves. And for those of you who want to comment on it and tell what you think about that. But I really want to see about doing that instead. So that way we can just limit interaction. We can only have certain people get involved. We don't have to sit here and keep having this stuff happen over and over again. Because understand, if the people, as a minister once said, if the people were on a soapbox in New Delhi, I would be on a soapbox in New Delhi. But the people are on Twitter and Facebook and YouTube, so guess where I am. So I'm really considering that as my next move, which is to convert it, because we need to have the ability to, first of all, gather people, okay? First of all, we need to be able to gather people who believe what we believe without all the noise and the clutter and the chatter. Because all that mess is just causing a great, big, gigantic distraction, and it's time for us to cut ourselves off from that. And I think that, you know, I got enough name recognition that it gives us a pretty good seed starting to begin with. And I really want to take a look in moving in that direction. I don't know. I might do it as early as tonight. I don't know. What do you think, brother?
I say you should do whatever makes you feel comfortable. You know, I say that you should keep your page as long as Facebook will let you, and also have the like page, you know, the Black Authority or whatever you're going to call it. I don't know if it's going to be named after the Black Channel. I don't know what you're going to call it, but whatever it is, you should do whatever you feel comfortable. Definitely go ahead with the like page. I'm planning on a like page, but I think I need to gain a little bit more, you know, of a following. I don't quite have the following you have yet for a like page, other than, you know, my group, which I won't advertise because I'm not Leo. Definitely with the like page. And a lot of people have also suggested a group. I think that would be a good idea, but something a little separate from your actual identity. But as far as the like page, I'd say go for it.
Well, like I say, that's something that I'm looking into, because I think, as you all know, after 7 a.m. is done, I really want to take a lot of you fellas and ladies out there and really start the work of getting everybody ganged up and explaining to people exactly what it is that we do and how I've been able to do the things that I've done. I want to explain them in detail. Because understand something. Donald Trump got built. Donald Trump's daddy and the Wharton School of Business, they built Donald Trump. He got gamed up by them. He wasn't guessing his way through the real estate game. He already knows. He already knows. And I think it's past time that we had a forum where black people can talk to other black people and we can get gamed up. Now, it's not going to be for the masses, everybody. It's going to be for a select few. Current business owners, aspiring business owners. Everybody else to the side. Everybody else to the side. But I want to be able to explain to you folks how to use social media, how to use YouTube the right way, the proper way to use YouTube. I want to be able to explain that to y'all. I want to be able to sit down in a forum where I can post up articles, where I can post up videos and show you all, like the one I did from Frontline, Generation Like, which is a masterpiece, to be totally honest with you. A masterpiece. And I want to have a forum where I can deal with those kind of things and other people can speak to each other. Because in the Black Channel, man, we got, in this group of black folk, we got computer programmers. We've got search engine optimization specialists. We got sales. We've got AC technicians. We got electricians. We've got medical professionals. Man, we got so much here. What we need to do now is we need some ambition and we need a business plan for everybody. It's not enough that TBA got it. Everybody else needs to have that and to do it the right way. Now, you see, if the idiot clown Leo had minded his manners, because he understands something. When you screw up on my phone, I'm not Mother Matilda. I'm Pai Mei from Kill Bill. I'm not Mother Matilda. I am hardcore and tough as nails. If you knew everything and if all you needed was a little tweak, I wouldn't have to say anything to you at all. If you want somebody to mother you and nurture you, go somewhere else. I don't want you here. If you want somebody to build you, this is the place.
Exactly. Oh, I don't want to call into TBA's broadcast because he's going to attack me.
Well, they call getting corrected being attacked the same way that bastard baby makers call not wanting to date them hate. Everything is conflation. Everything is inflated. Everything is blown beyond reality. Not just out of proportion, but beyond reality. We are not the semantics group here. And that's why I spent most of this week blocking people, to be totally honest with you. I don't want to go round and round with folk. I'm not going to go round and round with them. I'm not going to do that. People who understand. I want people who want to be built. I want people who understand that if you had all the answers, we'd be calling you.
Exactly.
But since you don't, you need to sit down, shut up, ask questions, and then shut up again. But
exactly.
You're not here to inform us of anything. I sat on the 24th floor on Madison Avenue in Don Peebles' office, and I listened to Game. And let me tell you, that man did 99% of the talking. That's what happens when you want to learn. I sat with Dr. Claude Anderson for half a day and got Game. He did 99%. Actually, he did 99.5% of the talking, to be totally honest. He did the overwhelming majority of the talking. That's what happens when you want Game. Brett Pulley, Umar Johnson, 99%+ of the talking. That's what happens when you came to learn. Were there things that all of them said that I disagreed with it? Yes, there were. Did I say anything to question them? No, I did not. Not any of them. Even though age-wise, Umar Johnson is my peers, I did not question that man. I didn't question anything he said, even some of the things that he may have said that I disagreed with, because upon closer inspection, I found myself agreeing with a lot more things. You see, if I was so important, they would be coming to do the documentary with me. I'm coming to do it with you. So obviously, since I reached out to you, maybe I need to be quiet.
Exactly.
Maybe I need to be.
It's not about emotion. It's not about ego. It's not about, you know, who's in charge. It's just about facts, all right? It's not about, you know, emotions. It's not about opinions or beliefs. It's just about what we have to do and what must be done. If you can respect that, then you ain't got to worry about the black Ayatollah. That's what people don't get. You know?
But they're not trying to learn. But the problem is that those people are not trying to actually learn anything. They just want to do like their fathers and grandfathers, mothers and grandmothers, and sit around and talk and intellectually masturbate all day, talking about spirituality and we're going to overcome white supremacy with our African spiritual consciousness. Somebody said that to me, literally. That's a Negro who's intellectually masturbating. He can't explain to you how you execute this consciousness, and he can't demonstrate to you, since he's mastered it, why doesn't he show you? Okay, show us an example of you overcoming white supremacy right now. He can't show you anything.
Oh.
And the reason he can't show it to you is because it does not actually exist. Yep. Now, if the young buffoon who had been on my phone had been quiet, he could have got ganged up. Go look at my Indiegogo. I was able to get the rest of you on board with that. He's a fellow who's struggling to get somebody to even know what the first initial of his name is. Take a look at me. I've blown past everybody else out there. I didn't do it by guessing my way through this. Maybe you need to shut up and learn so that somebody who's gotten where you're trying to get can tell you how to be where they're at.
Yeah.
I had several people in my... I've gotten a lot more since the Indiegogo has finished up, by the way. But I had several people in my inbox, one in particular, and I've told you all about this before. They have their own, they want to start a dramatic online series starring black folk. Okay, that's fine. That's wonderful and all. But here's the problem. The problem is they slam me into a group. And you all know how I feel about that. There's another fella, and this person made a documentary. I thought his documentary was pretty well put together. But the problem is that he spammed every single person he could find and wound up getting his Twitter and his Facebook shut down for it. So congratulations, you've got a documentary, you just don't have an audience. Because you made a documentary, you started on your documentary 2 years ago, but you started on your social networking 3 days ago. So you said, I will build it and they will come. Everybody will be so enamored with what I'm building that they'll love it. You're supposed to build a following first, and then you start offering things to your following. You don't call up every single number in the phone book and say, hey, my website is www.coonville.com. Come and join the revolution, brother. That's not the way that it works. You need to find out what the rules are. There were rules for every single person that I went to interview. Every single person had their own set of rules. They had what they would do, and they had what they would not do. Some of them would come to meet me. Others of them refused to come meet me and said I had to come where they were. And guess what? Did I get snotty about it? Did I tell them, hey, I'm spending hundreds of dollars on these hotel suites? You need to come here because I can control the lighting and stuff better. Nope. Told the crew, hey, we got to go. And that was exactly what we did, because I'm coming to get information from them, not the other way around. So you see, I could have gotten the young man ganged up and he could have left out of here with a plan for actually getting your nobody website known somewhere. I could have gamed up those people who sent me that. I don't want to say the name of their project, because without me going into detail, and I'm sure they may be listening out there somewhere, hey, I told you so. I'm not going to kick you while you're down. I'm just going to say, we saw your Kickstarter. Asked for almost $500,000. So far, you haven't even collected 1% yet.
Dang.
Actually, yeah, you haven't even collected 1% yet. Not even 1%. You haven't gotten one. Actually, they haven't. They really haven't gotten a tenth of 1%, really. Now, when I told them don't slam me in a group and whatnot, the female who did it wanted to get smart with me. You know more of that. Well, if you didn't want, you shouldn't have kept going. And I'm like, whoa, hold on a second. You're the ones trying to get funding. Let me show you a link to my crowdfunding. Because I'm a whole lot closer to a half a million than you are. Not bragging. I'm just saying. If you want to know how to successfully organize people for a goal, sounds like you ought to be. And if I'm telling you that you're doing it the wrong way, sounds like you should be listening. One of us has a track record of success. The other person is failing spectacularly. They are having an epic, monumental, spectacular fail. But you don't want to hear what I got to say because you got all the answers. Now their Kickstarter is over. It's been a monumental flop. It's two black men running it, but got your female out there making enemies. And I could have told you what you were doing wrong from day one. You see, as young black men, you all need somebody. Because understand, brother, I've made those kind of mistakes. I've made the mistakes of slamming into people's offices and throwing products on their table. I've made those mistakes. Of trying to intellectually bully people. I've made those mistakes. Of trying to use bully marketing. I've made those mistakes. Listen to somebody who's got some successes under their belt. Because here's my rule, Johnny. You can't say nothing to me if I don't see some successes under your belt. I will show you the Black Channel. I will show you sit-down interviews with Umar Johnson, Dr. Claude Anderson, Don Peebles. I will show you media property. I will show you successful crowdfunding. I will show you where I told you all how to do it before I myself went off and did it. Now, how many people can sit there and call it? Well, I called it. I made the video about Tariq and the fraud before I went off and did it myself. I told you all what the successful keys were, and then I went and executed it. And I did it in that order because I wanted to gain credibility in your eyes. So that the next time that I call you all, you won't even question it. You'll be like, hey, let's go. Let's roll. He's got a track record of success. This isn't a risk. This is a sure thing. This isn't a bet. This is a sure thing. This is a guy with a track record of success. Tariq is a guy with a track record of success. Listen to somebody who's got a track to the success. I don't listen to ghetto philosophers. I'm trying to build power, wealth, and influence. You're talking about philosophy. In other words, you do not have a track record of success. You're a clown. You're an idiot. You're a fraud. You do not have a track record of success. That's why I don't need to listen to you. That's why I can block you without ever talking to you. You don't have a track record of success. Therefore, there is no reason for me to listen to you. No reason at all. So I'm going to think it over. I'm seriously leaning towards a group page, to be totally honest. If I can figure out a way to make it without slamming everybody with it, if I can invite them without forcing them into it, I'd like to do that. Because I don't want to be forced into nothing. If there's a way for me to invite them without slamming them, then I want to do that. But to be totally honest with you, I kind of just want to build it from the ground up. Because I got a bunch of people on my current friends list who are highly suspect. I got folk on the friends list. They were dropped. They were blocked under Jason Black. Don't you know they're trying to get back in under Black Authority?
Yeah. I saw it.
So, like I say, I'm kind of leaning towards building it from the ground up. I'll probably make up my mind here tonight, though. You all will probably see that. And if I can do it without slamming people, I'll go for it. I'll let you have the last word, brother.
Yeah, well, before we move on from the 7 a.m. topic, because I did want to touch on that one more time, you know. I contributed over $1,000. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to make the $3,000 before last Sunday when the campaign ended. So I made a promise that I would do the $3,000 so that I could meet you in person. I would really like to know if I could still do that. Because
yes,
I'm not a fraud.
Well, for everybody who wants to contribute, yes, you can do that. Just you have to use PayPal, though, but you can contribute through PayPal. The email address is theblackauthority@yahoo.com. And I still got people who are contributing, by the way. So we are still, the number is actually higher than 97,000. I haven't had an opportunity to add up the everything that's come in since last week. But for everybody who still wants to contribute to 7 a.m., I will still honor it as it's stated on Indiegogo. There are some mistakes on Indiegogo, by the way. I was in such a hurry to set that thing up in some regards. I was just trying to get stuff done because I wanted to get it all up and going by a certain date. But I will still honor things as the perks as written on Indiegogo. So, yes, definitely you can still contribute through at theblackauthority@yahoo.com. Just contribute through PayPal, and definitely I'll take care of honoring those.
Thank you. Thank you. Because I made a promise, and I'm not a fraud, and I definitely plan to keep up with it. And thank you so much. Thank you for this.
There is... Uh-huh. So much that I can only do so much over the internet. The internet gives me the ability to do 80% of what I do. But to be able to sit down with you young men in person and be able to get y'all gamed up in person, you know, that's the kind of thing that I would really like to have, is the ability to sit down. I want to have more one-on-one stuff, and I just don't have the ability to do that. But it's really great when I do have the opportunity to do that, because you all need somebody who's going to sit down in person and show you places. You know, that's what Dre said about Suge Knight, that Suge was better than Easy because Suge Knight would take him places and take him to go meet people. He didn't actually implement any of the stuff Suge gave him, but in any case, to be able to sit down with you fellas and show you camera equipment and show you how to use it, and show you how to organize and stuff like that, man. You know, that's the kind of thing that I really want to be able to go in depth with. So as many of you as I can meet in person so I can do that, that's what I want to do for as many of you as I can. So definitely, like I say, even though Indiegogo is finished, definitely for those of you who still want to contribute and get your numbers up, definitely go ahead and see about doing that.
Thank you. And if you can, TBA, can you please re-upload those videos that you made on YouTube about how to set up your radio broadcast, how to pick camera?
It's still there.
Oh. Well, YouTube's kind of iffy. I guess I got to search for a little more.
Yeah,
but
it's like my page right now is like page 7. But if anybody's out there, I mean, you just, when you get off the phone with me, just go back through my YouTube archive. Those are all still there. The one about The Walking Dead. The one about black women and scandal, the one about the websites and stuff. Now, that was a while back because I got all these broadcasts on here. Like I say, just go back. It's like even on my screen, it's like 7 pages back. But it's still there. I was there yesterday. I actually posted the links yesterday. So just go there. All those videos are still there.
Okay.
The first ones you're talking about are like 2 or 3 pages back. I know all those going to show you is a big grid and stuff, but it's like 2 or 3 pages back. And the one about setting up your own website and setting up your own radio broadcast is like 7 pages back. By the way, eventually, I swear, I'm going to do an updated video. I'm going to put a picture of my Behringer 1204 mixer so you all can see the settings on the mixer itself.
Nice.
That's what I want to do. Because I really don't even need a video for that, to be totally honest with you all. I really just need a photograph just to label it for you so that you can see what the knobs and the switches and the plugins are for. So once I figure out how to label it and stuff, because there's a bunch of wires and stuff, and I don't want it to get too confusing for you. But all you really need is a photograph. And I can show you, I mean, with that photograph, it'll pretty much explain everything. So I really don't need another video, but I will probably post another video anyway because that gets the most responses. So just hang tight. Eventually there will be a video up that shows you how to, it'll be a video that goes up that shows you all how to set it up by use of the mixer. Because when I originally started, I was using a hybrid box. Nothing wrong with a hybrid box except you have to pay for your own phone lines. Going through something like Blog Talk or whatever, you got a little bit cheaper options, even though they can sometimes be flaky, to be totally honest with you, they're a lot cheaper. So, like I say, but just hang tight. Everybody's going to get gamed up.
Cool. Well, I just
free
want to close
of charge, by the way, free of charge. Yeah. You see, at the Black Channel, I give you information that will make you money free of charge. Fraudulent people want to charge you to be entertained or whatever. I don't know any people who ever got rich by being entertained. I know some people who got rich entertaining. I don't know anybody who got rich being entertained, but that's a different matter.
Exactly. Well, I just want to, you know, I'll free up your line so you can take more calls. I just wanted to end by saying, you know, I know you do this free of charge. I would gladly pay you, TBA. You deserve more than $3,000. Thank you for everything. Black First.
Black First, brother, thank you very much for joining us here tonight. And understand, everybody, for those who come and see me in person, you'll be able to ask me anything you want to ask me. We're not limited by Ustream. I will be able to show you things. So it's not going to be just one of these situations where you come with TBA and you hang out to eat. Let me tell you something. Every girlfriend that I've ever had, they learn things from me. They learn how to run businesses. They learn how to balance books. They learn how to do their own repairs on their computers. They learn how to do their own repairs on their cars. If you are TBA's girlfriend, you at least know how to change spark plugs. You know how to change your own tires, and you know how to change your own brakes. I'm the guy who does that. If I have you around, you are going to know some things. If I have you around, you're going to know some things. So when you come to meet me, you're going to get gamed up in person. And we'll be able to talk about those kind of things. Because I know your parents and your kinfolk have never sat down and had that face-to-face conversation with you where you speak to another man about what men are supposed to do to build power, wealth, and influence. I have a track record of success. I'll let that speak for itself. Let me get caller from 510. You're on live with the Black Channel. First, last call.
DBA, greetings, Black Brother. Danny from California.
What's on your mind, brother?
All right, TBA, what I was wondering, in the future, will you be planning on making the T-shirts?
They've already been made. They've already started shipping.
They've already started shipping. Wow.
Yeah, have you been to dashikiwoman.com?
No, I haven't been there just yet, though,
okay.
But I will check that out now.
Dashikiwoman.com, we started taking pre-orders like 2 weeks ago, and we started shipping yesterday. We started, well, today's Sunday, sorry. Friday, we started shipping on them. So, no, that's been off and rolling. Got the black, the 7 a.m. T-shirts, the 7 a.m. baseball caps, the new totally redesigned Black First shirts. All of those are up and going now. So definitely you'll be able to represent on an epic level. And just take a look at some of the faces of some of your white friends when they start asking you, Black First, what does that mean? And you can tell them, oh, good, glad you asked.
See, now I don't have a Now, I've already expected white people to ask questions like that. Now, the problem I would have is the black folks that are around me that ask questions like, what do you mean by Black First? Is this a militant type of movement, or is this a phase you're going through?
First of
because
all,
I have
write this down. I'm not cutting you off. Write this down whenever you encounter these arguments. First of all, when somebody says, are you on that militant stuff? Is this that militant stuff? Ask them, define militant. Do not let them get away with saying that understanding your African identity in and of itself is militant. And when they say what militant is, then you start, get them to start defending themselves, brother. Don't let them get away with that. When people sit up here and say erroneous things, you call them on it. And you say, define militant. What do you mean by militant? And then when they tell you what they mean, you get a dictionary and define for them, well, this is what the dictionary says militant is. So you're trying to come up with your own little pet code word and tell us what the issue here is. Now, if they sit up here and say, well, about, you know, if police mess with you to shoot and stuff like this right here, you tell them, so you're saying that self-defense is militancy? That defending your personal being is militant? Then let me find your mother and start smacking the broad up. And remember, she can't defend herself because you wouldn't want her to be militant now, would you?
Gotcha, TBA. And also, TBA, I had another question also. Where can I be around, like, a lot of conscious black brothers? Because me, I feel like I'm the only person in my school where I speak on a conscious type of level, and there's no one around me to elevate me further on my mental skills.
You don't have anyone
when it comes to
you. You're in California, brother. You ain't got nothing. How old are you?
24.
You're in California. You ain't got nothing. It is the single most problematic place for phone calls that I have on this broadcast. You've got
I've
nothing.
Noticed.
You have absolutely nothing out there. Black men in California have embraced homo thug culture, coonery and buffoonery, and interracialism. They have abandoned the idea or the concept of acquiring power, wealth, and influence across the board. They have no desire for it. They have no interest in it. California is done for black men. It is through. It is over. It is finished. I would never recommend to any black male to move to California. You ain't got no people there. Where are your people at? Oakland, where Oscar Grant got gunned down? Go figure out who the mayor of Oakland was. Show me where you're going to make that pop off. Where are you going to go? San Francisco, Los Angeles, Cali Swag District Central, where you gonna go? Brother, these young people today are telling themselves that they're gonna be basketball players and rappers and never gonna be either. Your chances of becoming a professional ball player are higher than your chances of becoming a professional rapper, and yet look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. So, you want to know what you got in California? You ain't got nothing. This is all you got, brother. The Black Channel and the people here, this is all you got. You got nothing else. There is nobody else. I know Tariq Nasheed is out there in California. Other than Tariq, you know, and the people on my website from California, other than them, write her off. And I know some folk may disagree with me on that, but from what I've seen, I don't see anything. I don't see anything moving. Black folk went from being 10% of the population to 7% of the population. Next stop, 4% in California. The whites and the Asians are now making a concerted, organized effort to remove you all from the state of California. It is the Asians who are joining together with the whites now to eliminate affirmative action. And we already know what the Asians feel about. The Asians are as bad as the Caucasians when it comes to wanting to gun black people down at their stores.
Mm-hmm.
So they fit hand in glove with each other in their opinions of black people. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you to go off into nothing like that. And black people are not making any type of organized counter movement. They're not doing that.
But TBA, you think it's possible if we can find at least as many conscious brothers in California, if that's possible? So we can get something going for once? Or is that just a dead end? And basically, the black existence will just cease to exist once and for all in California.
I mean, here's the problem, but the problem is that once your numbers dip so low, it doesn't matter anymore. You cannot go to 4% of a state's population and think that you are consequential. That's why in states like Idaho and Iowa and North and South Dakota, we are inconsequential. The New England states, they can do us as we please, as they please. When you go down to being single digits of the population, and once you hit that south of 6%, brother, the police can gun you down at will. You don't even have a TV station where a black person works at as the janitor to report that an unarmed black male was killed. So what I'm saying is that it's a hell of an uphill climb. Now, I am going to be buying advertising in California for 7 a.m. And maybe that might get some attention. Maybe not. I will be doing that. But for you as a group, brother, bring them here is all I can tell you. California as an organism is dead for black people. We had our last chance with the Panthers. They are bringing in so many Mexicans, but right now, do you understand that at the current rate of illegal immigration in California, that they can have black people down below 5% within 5 years? Did you know that?
It's possible. I can already
within
see it already.
Within 5 years, they can bump y'all 2 more percentage points down. What you gonna do when you're 5% of the population? What you going to do?
That's
the Asians will have superior numbers. The Hispanics and whites already got superior numbers. The Asians with superior numbers. I mean, you're outnumbered and outgunned by everybody. So what I'm saying, brothers, you're saying, well, can we organize with the brothers here? I'm like, man, I can take, as Dr. Claude Anderson says so brilliantly, I can take the number of upwardly mobile black men in California and put them in a cab, drive them anywhere they want to go. It's not like there's a big, long list, brother. And we know it's not a big, long list because take a look at the results you got on the streets, man. Take a look at the results on the streets. The Hispanics are organizing. The Asians are on the move. The Latinos are on the move. The Latino females are on the move. The Filipino females, in California are more upwardly mobile, moving more weight, and getting more things done than all of black malehood in California. And that is a fact. In California, and you know this from the nursing profession. Hell, they got schools and stuff over there in the Philippines specifically for the purposes of immigrating them over here so they can take up nursing. Now, you live there. Am I making that up?
No, it's not true. And actually, on that subject, my brother, he graduated from nursing 2 days ago. And from what I've seen, there was a whole lot of Filipinos graduating, from what I've seen. And that's shocking.
Yeah, and that's what makes black males think that nursing school is so great in California. Man, I got access to all these Filipino panties up in here. And he's not realizing, you dumbass, this is a wolf's den.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a big fat chicken. You are in a den of wolves. You are pretending to yourself, fantasizing to yourself that you are the wolf and they're all the hens. Buddy, it is exactly the opposite. Because this game is not going to be determined by sex. But that's how weak black males are today, is that everything has to be measured by sex. Because sex is the only activity where you meet another person on 50-50 footing. And whoever is, quote, on top, pardon the expression, is up for perspective. Power, wealth, and influence is not up for debate or perspective. It is simply a fact. You either have it or you don't. And that is why black males in California want to concentrate on how many of their Filipino classmates they had sex with. They do not want to discuss, you will not be able to get black males to in California to discuss how much more money than those Filipinos you made after you got out of nursing school. Now, that they don't want to talk to you about. These are black males. The same Filipino chick that he was laying on top of in nursing school is his boss and his supervisor. Oh, I'm sorry, she's not your boss and your supervisor, because her people made sure you got fired long before you got there. You see, the Filipinos can make a career out of the nursing profession now that they've taken it over. Black men are squatters in the Filipinos' nursing profession in California. I dare anybody to say I'm lying. Just like black people are squatters in New York and Brooklyn and Manhattan and Long Island and Queens. The white folk own the real estate. You just stand here. The Filipinos run the yard. Black males are just standing there. And by the time you get out of school, within less than a year, they're going to find some reason to fire you. So now you don't even have that anymore. So my suggestion to you, brother, is that if you do find black males who are like that, bring them here. Let this be the litmus test for them. Otherwise, they're wasting your time. Seriously. They're just wasting your time. The next thing is you need to determine what do they own, what do they control, and what are they passing down. If they cannot answer affirmatively or at least cannot show you concrete evidence of the planning and building stages of acquiring power, wealth, and influence, leave him where he stands. That's another con artist trying to talk a good game because he knows what you want to hear and wasting your time.
That's why I follow you, TBA. You already know the answers. You already know the game. Quadruple more than the fraud or other black people that I know. So that's why I follow you.
I'm just a person who gives realistic answers. If you lived in a country where Ebola was on the outbreak, I would tell you what, get the hell out of there. But my house, my home, get the hell out of there. You ain't got no home no more. Get out of there. And we as black people refuse to face realities like that. We want somebody who tells us what we want to hear, not what we need to know. I want somebody who's going to tell me what I need to know, not what I want to hear. So as a young black man, I'm just laying down the facts for you, brother. I'm just laying down the truth for you. If it could have been disproven, somebody would be able to show us where there is building taking place in California with black men. Somebody would be able to show us that. All you can show me is where the police are gunning you down, the schools are kicking you out, the jobs are leaving you unemployed, and the black women are leaving you homeless. And your population is falling. That's what you can show me. Now, at this point, it doesn't even take intelligence anymore. It just takes common sense to figure out what you need to do. In your case, you need to develop some power, wealth, and influence, get you a marketable skill, something that you can take with you from one state to another, and get started building your power and influence now. Are you in school?
Yes, I am, TBA.
What are you taking?
Me, you and Mona had a discussion. I was like a caller from like a month ago.
Okay.
I was going to Barber College.
Okay. Still not so sure how I feel about that, but as long as you can make something happen with it, I'm not going to have a whole lot to say. But that's what your goal needs to be, brother. You don't have a people in California. You got one here and one there. You'll spend a year trying to find one intelligent black person, and you already know that because you spent the last couple of years trying to find one. How's that going for you?
Not so well.
Well, go spend another 5 years and let me know how that works out for you.
Man, all I'm trying to do is just build a barbershop and then build off that and make businesses for myself. That's my mind state right now. That's all I'm trying to do.
In business, there's a term, cut your losses. Use California to get your education, get your business booming off the ground, and then cut your losses. And I'm talking about social losses. You can still make a coin out there in California, but you asked me about making it with other black men.
Yeah.
And that's why I asked you, you see some black men build out there? Because I can name the number of black men that I see building in California on one hand. I can name it on one hand. And I've been saying that about California. I said it 5 years ago. People are throwing up their hands now, and they're saying, TBA, you called it 5 years ago. Man, the signs were all there. Everybody just is now waking up to it. The signs were already there. I'll let you have the last word.
There's not much, really much to say, TBA, but black first, as always.
Black first, brother. Thank you very much for checking in with us. Please do so again. And for those of you who do have some sense in California, I'm not downing you, but hey, you know what the truth is. You know what the facts are. You know what the situation on the ground is. There was nothing that I just said in the last 6 minutes that was factually inaccurate. Now, could some miracle turn this thing around? Sure. But I'm not going to bet my future and my finances and my life on a miracle. Caller from 856, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Black First TVA, how you doing?
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Kyle, and I'm calling from New Jersey.
What's on your mind, brother?
Well, sir, I was the young man that posted on your Facebook page the article about the leverage buyout, and I just wanted to know your thoughts, or just wanted to let the audience know your thoughts about that.
Okay. For a leveraged buyout. Now, what he's referring to is he put up an article referring to a forced leveraged buyout. And, I mean, I don't have a problem with the general concept. The problem is the way that it was explained in that article. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of questions about that. I have a lot of questions about that. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
I got a lot of questions about that.
I understand.
I would need to see somebody actually execute one like that, because what he's referring to, everybody, is that in a situation like this, referring to that what you would do is if you want to buy a business, basically he tried to say that you can buy a business with no money and no credit. Basically, he tried to describe a way that you could do that by... It's basically like the way that I explained to everybody about buying adjudicated properties, okay? Now, I have done that with adjudicated properties. The difference is that I had, I had money to pay for it with. That was the difference. I had money to pay for it with. So it is a situation where, I would get people to sign their property over first before I had actually paid the bank or paid the mortgage company or paid the state their property. So it was a situation where first I confirmed through the state that their property really was adjudicated and whatnot. And the state actually had ownership of the property at that moment, okay? At that moment,
yes.
When I go see you, the state has ownership of your property. And in a full leverage buyout, the way that it was explained in that article, it basically is trying to say the same thing, except that you will somehow finagle a bank that you will gain the confidence of the bank loan officer. And what I'm saying is that that might work if you have a relationship with the bank loan officer already.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, yeah.
Bank loan officer is not going to sit up here and take somebody whose credit report looks like a crime scene and then write them a check for $300,000, $150,000. He's not going to do that. If he does, he needs to be fired. So in theory, well, yeah, I suppose if you can get a loan officer to write you a check for a property that you do not own simply based on the confidence that you have brought the business owner of the business that you want to buy and the other financial institution that will pay the down payment on the business there at the same time. If I can get all these people here, then will you give me the check for $150,000 and they'll give you one for $300,000 and off we go. Like I say, that's a bit of zigzag that I've never – and I got bankers with my personal phone number. I've told y'all about that. I've shown it to some of y'all. I couldn't get any of them to approve a deal like that without something to collateralize it with. So what I'm saying is that the guy who gave you that strategy, that's only going to work if he already – the only way that that works is if you already have a relationship with the banker. Now, how did you establish a relationship with the banker is the question. Can you tell me?
Can I tell you?
Yes.
Well, to establish a relationship, you have to be a customer of that bank for years, perhaps decades beforehand.
Now, for a payment of $150,000, it needs to be more than just a customer, though. You have to be a business customer.
Yes. Either that or have a mortgage with them or something like that.
No, that's not going to cut it because you're not buying a house. You're buying a business. And remember, that's why a bank has two departments, consumers and business, because they do not treat the two the same. And the considerations for the two are the same. Credentials and requirements for a consumer loan are much different than credentials and requirements for a business loan. Now, you know that already. And that's why we got in trouble with the subprime mortgage crisis, with all these Wall Street banks wanting to use mortgages with all these derivatives and whatnot, because getting a loan for a house is a lot easier than getting a loan for a business. The rules are different. Well, I shouldn't say it's harder. I should say that it's harder if you're trying to play by consumer. So the rules and the regulations and the requirements a bank is going to have to give you a business loan will be much different than the ones for a consumer loan. I don't see any responsible bank officer giving you a loan or a payment that large based on your word. You're going to have some type of established business relationship with them already. But guess what that means? What that means is that the bank is already in your financial business, and you have already satisfied their skepticism. When I say build a relationship with a banker, what you are describing is what most people describe. We're describing consumer relationship. Well, I've had an account with this bank for 20 years, and I bought a mortgage, and I bought a car. Yeah, but you didn't come to us for a mortgage or a car or a debit card. You came to us asking us to go into business with you. Now, you see, if you've ever taken out a loan to start a business, you will understand that, because that was what they said to me, that we are going into business with you. And this is what our cut will be. Our cut will be 3%. Our cut will be 2%.
Mm-hmm.
When you pay this off, we will no longer be business partners. And understand something. Once they make a loan to you, they can call the loan. That's another thing people do not understand, by the way. They can call the loan. So you are in business with these people, and they're not going to just go into business with you under any old circumstances. Do you know how many fast-talking people walk into a bank every day trying to get a loan? It's a loan officer's job to say no. So I'm not saying that the article that you put out up is impossible. I am saying that the way it was described so straightforward is improbable. I'm not going to say it's impossible. I'm saying that there's way more to it than what they're saying there. And without knowing the way more to it, that article is worthless, because he's not telling you everything. And you're going to go off and do exactly what he said in that article to the letter, and then can't figure out why it didn't work, because he left parts of it out. And I'm saying that half information is no information at all. But if you know somebody who you can actually sit down and talk to and can validate and verify for you that that methodology works, get them. And then do me a favor. Let me talk to them. I'd like to talk to them myself. I'd like to talk to them myself. They can get me gamed up. Hell, I'd love for somebody to tell me how I can walk into a bank and walk out with a check for $300,000 with no money, no assets, and no credit. If he can tell me what to say, hell, I'll even use his fast-talking slick lines. Hell, if that works, he's got the edge. If he's able to walk in and talk his way into a $250,000 loan, I'm not hating. He's just got the edge. He's not conning people. He's just got the edge. I want the edge, too. So let them talk to me. We'll all get smarted up. Let me know how that works out for you.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to know what your thoughts were on that because, of course, there were a lot of holes within that article, but it pretty much laid down what the basic premise of a leveraged buyout was.
Yeah, I mean, a leveraged buyout is where you use the assets of the business that you want to buy as a type of collateral. However, even in the normal circumstances, they do not use the entire – the bank is not loaning against – is not going into business with you based on the business you want to buy. They're going into business with you based on the one you already have. That's the way it usually works with a leveraged buyout. Their considerations before they will go in on this deal with you, they want to know about the person that they're dealing with. Because remember, you are telling the bank that I will pay off the additional year, 2 years of payments with the profits from the business. But wait, what was the other thing that article did not mention? The article did not mention your qualifications to run the business because you're buying the business from this other guy and you are going to be expected to run it to finish paying the thing off.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, like I say, if I don't explain to you that, by the way, the bank is going to want to know your experience in this, and when you tell them, oh, no, I'm just looking to acquire a business because I want more of this stuff, that's not what venture capitalists do. Mitt Romney did not buy businesses and then figure out how to run them later. What they did was they took over the businesses and kept the management, and as venture capitalists, they had a career of being able to be CEOs of a business. Well, if you're not a CEO type or have credentials as a CEO person who has a track record of success, guess what the banker is going to tell you?
He's going to tell you no.
And see, you were looking at that like the way that that article explained it was that that could be a vehicle for first-time business owners. That was the first thing that made my ears go boop. Whoa, Who's going to give you a check for $300,000 with no income, no assets, no collateral, no credit, and no experience? You wouldn't give somebody $500 under those circumstances. What makes you think a bank is going to give you $500,000? And what I'm saying is the way, if you're taking a look at that, even as a scenario, of that article, the way it's written, it's unworkable. It's nice if you want to get people to click on stuff and say, rah, rah, go talk to somebody who buys real estate and buys businesses or any bank officer, and they will sit there and tell you, not at our bank, and you'll be hard-pressed to find somebody who says, yes, it will. So I don't have a problem with you all learning about leveraged buyout. I don't have a problem with the first paragraph where he simply explains that a leveraged buyout is using the assets of the business as collateral to get a loan to buy the business. I don't have a problem with that. I got a problem with everything he said after that where he said, and here's how I tell you how to do it, because he's not giving you – I'm sorry. If all he's giving you is half the information, he didn't give you any. That's the same as me telling you that, Kyle, you can buy this Bentley with no money, no credit, and nothing down. And Kyle is like, yeah, that's great. What I did not tell Kyle is that it's going to be based on his job history, that he has to have a job history of making $100,000 a year for the last 10 years. Brother, you cannot eliminate risk. Mortgage-backed derivatives were a financial instrument that was pioneered by J.P. Morgan. I showed you all the frontline video that talks about that. What J.P. Morgan thought to do was to eliminate risk. They used the word mitigate, but their real goal was to try to eliminate risk in loans. And what they realized was that, you know what, there really simply is no way to eliminate risk. All you can really do is move risk around. We can move it from our balance sheet to somebody else's, but we cannot destroy its existence. This guy was trying to tell you how you could start your own business with no money down, no assets and whatnot, and no risk. And that's when he's telling you no money, no credit, no assets. What he's saying is that you won't have to risk anything, and that's wrong. That's fallacious. That's incorrect. You can't eliminate risk. You can only move it around. Now you're asking the banks to take on risk that you will not take on. That was why he said use somebody else's money. Well, you're asking them to take on risk, and I'm telling you that in my dealings with bankers, that's simply not going to occur. But if you can get somebody who can show you a working example of it and tell you exactly what they did to make it work, I want to know.
Okay. If I can, I'll definitely tell you.
Now, are you interested
However,
in business?
I'm sorry?
Are you interested in starting your own?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
What makes you so sure that you're certain?
Because basically to build a legacy, and on top of that, I'm young enough to take a risk and fail and try again.
Very, very good answer. You're courageous, but there's something that you're missing there. The ability to run a business is not just based on your courage. It is also based on your intelligence. I would never recommend to anybody to get involved in a business that they do not know anything about. That is a formula for disaster. The business will either go out of business because you're too incompetent to run it, or you will lose the business to somebody else who is smarter and more experienced at it than you because you had to turn over the day-to-day operations to them because you didn't know. How old are you?
I'm 25.
Okay. Do you understand that right now at 25 years of age, you could start your own LLC and you can have enough business credit within 24 months to get that loan from the bank that you were talking about? No flim-flam, no chicanery, no gymnastics.
Yes.
Did you know that you could do that?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I have a C corporation with the state of New Jersey.
Very good. But you're in the wrong state.
Yes.
It's the truth. New Jersey has some of the highest taxes in the nation. So you have a C corp, you have a corporation, you're just in a state where having a corporation is worthless.
Right. What state would you recommend, TBA?
Hell, buddy, you'd be better off in New York. If we're going to talk about Jersey, you basically said, let me find the worst state to get a corporation that I can possibly choose. What is the worst one that I can choose?
I mean, I figured California would be the worst state because of all the regulations and
Dude, look, Rush Limbaugh has never run a business in his life. Rush Limbaugh was given everything he had by Clear Channel, and that's it. If you took Clear Channel from him, the man would go broke, and he's smart enough to know that. If you took Premier Radio Networks from him, he'd go broke, and he's smart enough to know that. That's why he's still working for a living 24 years later in radio. He has never tried to do anything on his own. Everything he does is part of that show. Nothing he does is separate and independent from it. Nothing. Sean Hannity, same thing. You can't listen to those guys, okay? There are regulations in every state. No business wants to pay taxes of any kind. Why? Because taxes are an expense, and no business wants to pay any expense that they don't have to. So there's regulations anywhere you go. Somebody in the chat room was talking about how about Texas? How about Las Vegas and whatnot? How about Florida? There are states that do not have personal income taxes, but they make up for that shortfall with sales taxes and property taxes. I live in Louisiana, and we had that debate a long time ago about eliminating the state sales tax based on the state income tax based on our neighbor, Texas. What we did not find out until we started debating it was that, by the way, property taxes in Texas were easily three times what our property taxes here were. You're gonna pay somehow, some way. You can walk away from your job easier than you can walk away from your home, brother. What I'm saying is that we gotta be adults. There is no such thing as a free ride. So what you want to choose are the states that give you the best environment for what you're going to be doing. That's what you want to look for. You want to look for states that give tax breaks. You want to look for states that have the lowest regulatory filings. You want to have the states with the lowest amount of regulations. But states that have low regulations without making up for them in other ways. Get what I mean?
Yes.
So in some cases, a place like South Dakota is more preferable than a state like Texas. Taxes are not quite as low, but the regulations are damn near non-existent. And they will be happy to have your business because your business will represent revenue. And you don't have super competitive environments like Dallas, Austin, and Houston. So what I'm saying is that you're going to have to investigate, brother. This is part of your due diligence. As black folk, we don't really think about a business as an enterprise. A business will be part of due diligence. Part of running a business is your due diligence. Did you investigate? Because that's something that you can't even turn over to an attorney. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
You might think you can. But understand something. I don't know how many lawyers you've dealt with, but you're turning over the decisions of your business to a lawyer. But what if there are parts of things in Texas that he likes that maybe you're not so cool on? What if there are parts of Nevada or North Dakota that he likes that you're not cool on? What if there were more regulations in Florida, but they give tax breaks to your type of business? In Louisiana, we give tax credits, not tax breaks, but tax credits when studios shoot movies here. Did you get that?
Yes.
So even though you have lower taxes in the Dakotas or Florida or whatever, Louisiana, if you are a movie business, will actually pay you to shoot your movie here if you meet certain qualifications. So all of a sudden, guess who's at the front of Kyle's list if he's making a movie? Not Texas.
Louisiana.
Not Nevada. Not Delaware. Not Iowa. All of a sudden, Louisiana's looking pretty damn good. I know because we have Millennium Studios here. Millennium Studios built a soundstage right here in Shreveport. I can show you pictures of it if you want it. They tore down the ghettos. We call them the bottoms. They tore down the ghettos so that Millennium could have like 12 acres to build their studio. And I didn't have a problem with that, by the way, either. They take up a whole city block by themselves, basically. And we basically pay them to be here. See, you got to investigate those things because your attorney may or may not know that. Or he may or may not consider that to be significant enough. And that's why you have to look into it. You have to know. You use your attorney as a guide, but the ultimate decision has to be made by you. Because he may be ready to sign off on something that you're not. For whatever reason.
Yes, sir.
Now, before you do anything else, what are your skills?
Well, I have worked in banking before. And right now I hold a bachelor's in political science.
Okay, you say you have a bachelor's in poli-sci?
Yes.
Okay, you do understand that that degree is worthless?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay, because they don't tell y'all that when you go into school. They just tell you take whatever you want. That's because the schools have to make money. Can't pile you all up in the computer science classes. So they let you take whatever you want, and they tell you how easy it'll be to get a degree, as if having a degree is some magic wand that guarantees you a job, and it is not. You cannot build a business with a political science degree. All you can do is go to work for a politician. And do you know how steep the competition is with politicians?
Yes, sir, I do.
You got young cops. As a matter of fact, you have interns for that, by the way. And we all know what an intern is, unpaid labor. Now, how is a guy with $28,000 in debt with a degree going to compete with the kids who's volunteering for free? How's that? That's an unfair fight in every form of the word.
It's just not going to work. I mean, sometimes I wish I could go back to the age of 18 and redo my major, but
well, you can do it now. It's only 24. You can do it now. You can go to school right now and get certified for computer programming, IT, databases, as my other caller was saying before. I mean, you could do that now, brother. What's stopping you?
Oh, no, nothing's stopping me. As a matter of fact, I was actually taking up Ruby and JavaScript for a little bit as well, online, because I have free courses, so I was doing that in my spare time.
I don't mind free courses, but your progress will move much faster if you have a tutor. Because online, you'll spend a lot of time, and there's no telling what the value of it will be when you're done, and you don't, even if you have personal questions, you're just stuck. So unless it's a course that has somebody you can speak with one-on-one, it's going to slow you down is the thing. What you can learn in 6 months may take you a year. Simply because you'll be spending so much time trying to find answers. Whereas with a teacher or a tutor, you can just go straight to your answers. But don't just be programming and whatnot. You need to have a plan. I call it the plan to take over the world. Because that is the reason why most black people, and black men in particular, cannot get a business loan. Because the business plan does not, most black people's business plans do not explain how they are going to make unlimited return on investment. They put together a business plan that explains how they can become self-employed. The problem with becoming self-employed is that all you did was buy yourself a job. You went from being John's employee to being Kyle's employee, but you still have the same level of income, the same level of upward mobility, and the same level of assets. You just now have a lot more responsibilities and you're paying all your own taxes. You have not shown us how this thing has unlimited growth potential. And that is why most black people cannot get a business loan. So before you talk about going to school or taking any subject, you need to explain, how is this going to give me unlimited capital to take over the world? Because guess what? That's what the banker wants to know. So how are we going to use this to take over the world? Now, do you think that I'm exaggerating in what I'm saying?
No, you're not.
Okay, give me some examples then.
Taking up.
Oh, boy. Everybody says I'm not exaggerating, but then I ask for examples, they can't tell me. Go ahead, try.
Okay, inventing a rideshare service such as Uber, or perhaps government contracting, contracting with the federal government.
Okay, let's take a look at Facebook. Is that not an exercise in a business plan to take over the world?
Yes, it is.
Let's take a look at Amazon.com.
Well, they revolutionized shipping for goods and services.
Well, not just shipping, but the ability. Why should you go to Walmart anymore when you got Amazon.com? See, Walmart took over the world first, and then Amazon took it over next.
Yes, Amazon took it over next. From what I believe, or correct me if I'm wrong, their overhead is so low that they can undercut Walmart's prices.
In certain places, in California, they didn't change the tax laws. But my real point about it is, do you see their plan to take over the world? Google, Samsung, Apple, do you see their plans to take over the world? And that's why bankers are lined up, because they can explain how we have unlimited return on investment. So before you get started with any plan, make sure that there's a plan to take over the world in there somewhere. Don't get involved in it if it's going to have limited growth potential. Find some way, a feasible way, not just as a checking the box. There needs to be a feasible plan for how we can turn this into unlimited growth potential. How are we going to do that? You need to be able to answer that. So first, you need the skill that you can make the business out of. Please try to make sure it's something you enjoy doing, by the way. And then you make the plan for, okay, here's how we're going to take over the world with this. Candy Crush, a plan to take over the world. Everybody's got their plan except us. I have the last word.
Jason, thank you. I've been a listener of your broadcast, and your broadcast has helped me develop to become from a male to a better man, and I'm still working at it. But all I can say is thank you for the advice, and Black First.
Black First, brother, thank you very much for joining us here tonight. Please do join us again. Caller from 510, you're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, caller from 510-827, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Oh, brother Jason Black, I was just listening. I guess it automatically took me to the queue. Huh?
But no, it didn't. You pressed one.
Okay. I press one again. Sorry about that.
California. White supremacy owns and operates and does everything that it does through its economy. That is what they do. White supremacy's power is in its economy, not its belief in spirituality. Religion is something that they implemented for the purposes of bolstering the economic aims. But the heart of its power is in its economy. The root of white supremacy's power is economic. Donald Trump understands this. Donald Trump's father understood this. You need to understand this, because all the complaining in the world is not going to overcome someone who has a superior economy. All the complaining in the world is not going to stop their ability to out-communicate you. When they use their media like an axe and chop you and hack you into pieces with it, they walked in with a game plan, and the game plan was that they would use their economy to crush you and grind you into powder. That is the methodology of it. A bunch of Filipino females in California, and you can name the industry that the Filipinos control. All these black males bragging about how many Asian, they really mean the Filipinos, how many Asian chicks they've bedded in California. The Asian chicks can show you industries that they control. Can somebody show me the black male industry in California? Show me the industry that black males in California control. Your Filipino girlfriend controls an industry. How about you? You got one? You got one of your own? Black males talking about being rappers forevermore. You don't control any part of the rap music industry. There is no part of the rap music industry that non-people look at and say, I have to go through black men if I want to get anything done. Nothing. There is nothing in rap music that non-black people say that they have, that you must go through black people if you want to get anything, other than street credibility. And look at T.I. with Iggy Azalea. Look how quick, how eager he was to sell that out. Look how eager the young black men are to whore themselves out. It's one thing when somebody else is pimping you. It's another thing when you're pimping yourself. And as black males, we don't communicate and discuss this enough. We don't talk about this enough. Holding ourselves to a standard. Okay. Let me explain something here. I have somebody in the chat room who has just said something. I'm afraid I need to put everybody else on hold because I want to deal with this right quick. Because they said something here. And one of the first things that we have to do, as illustrated by the last caller, Kyle, we have to start showing that we're not, that we have some courage about us. So, young genius, I'm going to need for you to call me up now. Don't be afraid. There's a teaching moment here. And I need people to learn from what they just saw. Because this is the most critical thing where black men are concerned. And there is a reason why we cannot lead. There's a reason why we are the last people that anybody looks at to lead. We're the last people that they turn to for that. And I want to take this as an opportunity to illustrate to people why that occurs. So, we're going to give him a few moments to call us up here because this is going to be an opportunity for everybody to learn about this. Oh, and one more thing, brothers and sisters. When I tell you that you need to call up, I do not accept no for an answer. So, we can do this the easy way, or we can do this the extremely easy way, whichever you'd prefer. As black men, we have not learned how important it is to pride ourselves on our ability to lead. We haven't learned how important that is yet. We haven't learned how crucial it is for we as black people and as black men to solidify our credentials. For me, I consider going into the world, mastering the economy, and then dominating white supremacy with it, I considered that to be my rite of passage. That I could compete with them at the top levels, at the highest levels. Any task that you laid down in front of us, I could go toe to toe. I could face you. I could take you on and I could beat you. That was my rite of passage for myself. Truth be told, I didn't consider myself a man until I did that. I didn't consider myself a man until I did that. I didn't consider myself a man until I did that. Because most black men today have it in their heads that we are somehow going to gain the respect of people without doing what's necessary. And that's what I want to see eliminated now. I want to see black men actually demonstrate that we know what's necessary here. Now, young genius, you haven't commented in the chat room again, and I haven't seen you say that you're on the line. Now, I consider that to be a base form of disrespect. Because, you see, this is a place where people come to get smarter about things. They don't come to wander. They don't come to get their ego stroked. They come for the purposes of learning. Now, if you're not interested in learning, you're in the wrong place. You see, there was a guy this morning he had to get removed because he was talking about, I'm throwing ideas out there. He was talking about how building an economy doesn't matter without guns. I said, well, you have look what happened to Black Wall Street. Negroes just keep repeating that like a bunch of damn parrots, using the world, demonstrating their cowardice. He said that we need guns. I said, you have to build an economy before you can defend it. You can't defend an economy that is not there. You have to have an economy before you defend it. I said, now explain to us what your plan is to build an economy. He responded, oh, well, we need to get more banks so we can start more businesses. And then he said that we need to do like these churches do, and we need for everybody to contribute so we can start a bank. Brothers and sisters, have you ever seen banks started by passing the hat? No idea, no clue what he was talking about, but boy, he didn't mind mentioning it. He didn't mind positing that at all, even though he did not know. Even though he did not know at all. Now, I do not see young genius on the line. And I do not see him in the chat room either. So what I'm going to take that to mean is that young genius will no longer be joining us. Brothers, this is not a place for the squeamish and the faint of heart. We have had four generations of black male cowards. Cowardice dies here now. Now, let me demonstrate something here. What I'm going to do here is, Brother Rick, you're in the chat room. If you would here, because we only have a few minutes left, give me a phone. Give me a call, Rick. Because Rick is a young fella, but Rick is one of the guys here. He's one of my go-to people for that. Because there's a lesson to be learned here, and for young black people in particular, it is important that they understand that. You all need to understand exactly what you're here for. And when you don't have something, it's time to get something. Now, according to my chat room here, this is supposed to be Young Genius on the line. Is that correct?
Yeah, this is Young Genius.
Okay, I'm going to bring Rick on the line with us here also. And the reason for this, Brother Genius, is because there's a lesson to be learned here. Now, you typed something in the chat room. And right after you typed it, I said I wanted you to give me a call. What was it that you typed?
I've heard a rumor where you could start a Janet King franchise for $1,000.
Okay. Now, what you said was that I've heard a rumor that you can start a Janet King franchise for $1,000.
That's
please
correct.
Explain to me why that information is still just a rumor for you.
Well, I said it was a rumor because I haven't really looked and searched into it. I'm not really interested in that, but...
Okay, but that's my point, though.
Yeah.
Obviously, you are interested because you mentioned it. You are interested enough that you raised it as an example. So why did you not want to know? Why did you want to believe something? Why didn't you want to know it? As black men, we have the reputation of being the dumbest men in the room. We have the reputation of being the dumbest, most unintelligent, most uninformed people in the room. And now in the 21st century, with Google and access to the entirety of mankind's information, black men are, with information and answers to any question just a few keystrokes away, black men are still telling the world about what we don't know. Something as simple as going to Janet King's website and actually looking it up or Googling it, and you're telling us that you found the Black Channel and you got Facebook and you got Twitter, but you couldn't take out the time to actually know how much a Janet King franchise was.
No, I didn't. And I wasn't trying to, spam or, you know.
I know that. What I'm saying is that, did you understand that you didn't actually know something about that? You said there's a rumor. But that was a rumor that you could have dispelled for yourself in, what, 30 seconds? Maybe? Maybe 30 seconds. Maybe quicker than that. And then if somebody else has questions about a business they could start, a business that they could start for $1,000, you could actually answer, you could be the one playing black authority for them. Why is it that we as black people, as black males, as black men, are so comfortable not knowing things, believing things, feeling things, guessing things, but never knowing things, never being the authority on something of information? See, brother, I didn't just wake up one morning with all this knowledge. I made a lot of mistakes. I did a lot of things, and I did a great amount of reading and research. And I want to know why it is that black men feel with all this information at their fingertips that it's not imperative on them to actually find out information. It's as easy as Google, and we're still not doing it?
I understand. I actually saw an advertisement on the back of a van or something, or a vehicle. And I never actually looked at it. And then, you know, I saw somebody in the chat room talking about, businesses and whatnot. You know, that just came across my mind. I never really looked into it. But,
Do you like females?
I said, it was a rumor. I'm sorry?
Do you like females?
Yes.
Okay. Let me give you all a very quick tip on how to get girls, since so many black men are motivated by sex. Be the smartest man in the room. females adore the smartest man in the room. It doesn't matter what you're smart about. A woman respects a man who is willing to do the mental work necessary to be the smartest man in the room, just like a man respects a woman who does the physical work necessary to keep her body tight. We don't know how she did it. Yoga, Pilates, P90X. We don't know. We don't care. We respect her work ethic. So if you want a really easy way to get chicks, become the smartest man in the room. Start learning everything about everything you can. GBA, where do I start? Every question that you ask yourself. How much would it, I saw a truck the other day from Jenna King. I don't remember what it said the franchise cost was. Let me look it up right quick. This chick is talking about she wants shoes. Let me find out what kind those are, where they're made, how much do they cost. See, that's what white men do. White men own the rap music industry because they will take out the time to find out everything about us. As black people, we take out no time to learn anything about them. So what I'm saying, brother, is that when you said, I heard a rumor, but yet it didn't have to be a rumor. You could have actually found out some facts before you even typed that in the chat room. You could have actually had information, not a rumor. And what I'm saying is that if you are okay, there was money to be made is the problem. My God, brother, I don't give a damn if it's a business you never plan on going into. There's money to be made. Somebody here needs to know where the money is. White folk know where all the money is in the black community. Why come we don't know where all the money is in theirs? White people understand it's very hard for a white person to start a soul food restaurant. But guess what? They know where our money is in it. They may never open one, but they know where the money's at. Why is it you don't know? Why is it it's not a priority for you to know where the money is?
I get to, and I guess I just deserve a little tongue lashing that you're giving me. But
it's not a tongue lashing, brother. Y'all need to stop that. Y'all need to stop that. Y'all have been raised by too many hoes, hood rats. They little feelings walk around on their shoulders and mess. This is the problem of the bastard baby makers. They raise their sons to be overly sensitive. A person correcting them is seen as attacking them. But when a white man puts them on a football team, calls them every type of dog, they got them calling them niggers. What was his name with the Florida Dolphins? With the Miami Dolphins. I forget his last name. He's got some sinister last name. Chad something, I think it is. Because sit there and call that fella nigger all the damn time. It's okay. White men talk to you like a damn fool, and that's okay. Black folk try to correct you, and that's, oh, nigga, you ain't gonna tell me nothing. It's not like that, dude. You're not being tongue-lashed. A tongue-lashing is what I gave Donald Trump when I started this broadcast. And that's because Trump's got more power, wealth, and influence for the time being. Incognito, that's right, Richie Incognito. Totally sinister last name, by the way. As black males, brother, y'all need to start understanding the concept of getting ganged up. Y'all need to start understanding that your mama's told you wrong. They prepared you and conditioned you wrong. You are supposed to be happy when somebody tells you something you don't know. Because guess what? The next time you go into a conversation, now you got the edge. And it doesn't matter how he gave it to you. In boxing and football, you are taught by them white men that we don't give a damn how we said it to you. If you want access to our football league, you take your mama's little panty waist sensitivity, oh, I'm temperamental mess, shove it up your temperamentalism. If you want to make money off of us, you will. You notice you don't have anybody complaining about how the coaches talk to them in pro sports. Talk to them like dogs. But see, white men can tell you that without you saying it's a tongue lashing. For you, when you get in front of them, it's, oh, he was coaching us. But that's because he will not accept you telling him that his training you is tongue lashing. Either you want to learn or he's going to remove you immediately and get somebody else in your slot. And they may not be as talented or well prepared, but guess what? He will be able to train them to be better than you. Doesn't matter how much natural talent you have. He will train them to be better than you. Because they are willing to learn. And they don't waste his time back talking. It's not tongue lashing, brother. You're being gamed up. You're being taught. Because your people didn't do that. Take that stuff and hang it to the side. I did not get tongue lashed by Dr. Claude Anderson. I got gamed up. And that's why I was able to come back to you all with a better message than what I left with. Rick, were there changes to my vocabulary when I came back last summer?
Yes.
You all
it
did
was
not
like
hear
night
the
and
terms.
Day,
you all did not hear the terms power, wealth, and influence as much as you heard after last summer. You all did not hear what you own, what you control, and what you're passing down. And I'm telling you, Dr. Claude Anderson, I sat at the feet of the master, and he was the one who taught me that. 36 years old just last year, and he was the one who taught me that. After telling me be quiet a few times, or cutting me off while I was talking a bunch of times, by the way. Very difficult to finish a sentence when Dr. Claude Anderson starts talking. But that's because he don't need to hear what you got to say. And he already knows what you're going to say. That was what I got. And let me tell you, if he gives me another invitation, I would drop this microphone right here. Walk straight out the front door, lock the front door, may not lock the front door, don't know. Depends on how much of a hurry I'm in. And I'm on the first thing with wings back to the East Coast. If it's only for 2 hours of his time, I'm on the first thing with wings to the East Coast.
I hear you, brother. Well, I just had a poor choice of words, not tongue lashing, but thanks for correcting me. I wasn't upset or mad about anything. And I took this as a learning experience, and life is about learning.
All right. Black First, brother, thank you very much for joining us. Rick, I want these. Why do these young fellas need to learn this quickly, brother?
Because it's life and death out here. And when you're dealing in the world of facts, that's exactly what it is, life and death, not rumors. Rumors can get you killed. Position where you might not be able to eat based off rumors. The best thing that you can do against the rumor is deal with it in the sense of the truth. Facts, factual statements, numbers, all the way around. Nothing more, nothing less.
It's not about what you think. It's not about what you guess. I want black men to start cultivating the habit of being the smartest people in the room.
Yeah.
I want black men to cultivate the habit of everything they don't know, they immediately go get an answer. And the reason for that is because you want to make sure that you don't have to depend on anybody else for the answers that you need. You should already know the information, and whatever you don't know, if somebody asks you, immediately go find it.
Exactly. And especially with the last caller with Young Genius, I mean, definitely don't see it. Whenever TVA asks anybody to call in, don't see it as something that he's going to give you a tongue lashing or something like that. Just see it as something that he's trying to correct you, trying to understand what you're trying to say in the chat room, because sometimes when you do type something in there, it can be misconstrued as something else. So he might ask you to call in to clarify what you're stating, because you might say something that is accurate, but in the chat room it can be misconstrued as something else. So don't be fearful of it. It's a teaching moment. We all have to have a teaching moment. I've had plenty of them on the broadcast. And I take them for pieces of wisdom. I mean, they're jewels. You're supposed to learn from them. You're supposed to It's supposed to make you grow into becoming a better person. Knowledge is power, and it's the key. And the more that you guys come back here and listen and obviously don't get caught up in emotions but get caught up in the facts, the better it will enable you into becoming a better business owner, a better entrepreneur, and basically a better black person. Because unfortunately right now we are in dire straits. We need better black people. And the way we're going to get better black people is black people who are in love with the truth, who are hungry for the truth, who respect the truth, and who value the truth.
Too many of our black males were not raised to be conquerors. And they're sensitive about stuff that they shouldn't be, and they are callous about things they should be ultra-sensitive about. When it comes to gaining power, white men created the phrase, no pain, no gain. And you know why they did that? They did that so that their children understand that we don't want to hear you crying about how much it hurts to gain power. Either you want it or you don't. I don't want to hear about your discomfort. Either you want it or you don't. Women as a species avoid discomfort. They are hardwired to avoid it. That is because their job is to carry babies. If you're in discomfort, that means you're probably in danger. If you're in danger, the baby is in danger. It's hardwired into their DNA to avoid situations that could endanger their offspring. As males, we are supposed to be exactly the opposite. We are supposed to find dangers so that we can pacify them and eliminate them. That's our purpose. That's our job. And that means we have to be the strongest, mentally, physically, emotionally, in the room. You're not going to get there if all you're doing is spending your time trying to figure out, well, let me get everything told to me in only the ways I want to hear it. Well, that's like saying I want to build muscle in only the ways that make me feel good. Well, there is no feel-good way to build muscle. By definition, building muscle means that you have to tear the fibers. Tearing the fibers means that you're going to have to experience some discomfort so that the fibers can knit themselves back together again. No pain, tearing the fibers. No gain, rebuilding the fibers.
Got to break you down in order to build you up.
As black men, we need to start seeing all of this as our opportunity to build our strength. And we don't do that. We're defining the world on weak, mealy-mouthed, whiny hood rat terms. Time to start defining the world as men. White supremacy created the whiny hoes and hood rats. As black males, it's time for us, because they understand that whiny hoes and hood rats will never be able to defeat white supremacy. We need to start defining these things on our own terms as men. Donald Trump knows the caliber of black male as a rule that's out there. That's why he's talking so much garbage. He ain't scared. Because he knows how males respond to adversity.
Run their mouth. That's it. That's about it. That's all we do right now. We don't go about doing anything as far as building or coming together as a collective and trying to become the smartest individual in the room, especially here in New York. I was down in, in Queens last night, and let me tell you that there was a club that was packed with black people just going in and out, packed, playing music all throughout the night. And I'm just sitting here looking, and I see, buildings going up, restaurants, all this going up all around them, but they're having a good time. It's time to put away the games. Time to put away the toys. Time to put away all of the nigger trinkets. Time to get to the building. And unfortunately, a lot of us are not going to listen. A lot of us got to go. But that's a good thing. We no longer have time to be playing around and looking for the feel good emotional state that we're looking as far as that we see from the single mother epidemic and that dynamic. We don't need it. We need to build. And obviously to anybody who has to deal with rumors or you hear about rumors, the best thing that you can do as far as with dealing with rumors is use Google. Google is your friend. You can definitely do a lot of research if you're going to, if you hear some kind of franchise that's for $1,000, no, just go Google it and Google relentlessly. And don't stop with just one web page. You got to go through 12 different sources. I remember Dr. Ben said that when he was talking about looking up information based off history. He wouldn't just go to one source. He'd go to this source, but this source agreed with him. He'd like, well, go to this next source and then go to the next source so that by the time he gets to the 12th source, he knows that this is the standard. This is the factual to the degree that he needs as far as in dealing with the information and the piece of history he's looking for. So
and it's called corroboration.
Yes. So what you want to do, yes, somebody, Alex just wrote in the chat room, Google is the modern library, and that's what it exactly is. You need to go ahead and sharpen your mind. Just like with, what was it, the young man, the homeless coder. I remember I had sent you that information on him, and you were telling me, well, you know, you should go ahead and find out as far as the coding. And then what I did was I went ahead and I researched, and I actually found his tutor. I went online and found his tutor on Facebook, started communicating with him. I found the books. Not only did I find the books, I found the websites. I found Code Academy. I found a list and a litany of sources of, as far as coding, JavaScript, Ruby, Perl.
And this is why I want a group for us, because, see, like, you can lay that all that information out for everybody where they can see it.
Yeah, and I have no problem sharing
that, because while everybody else is out there complaining about their failed relationships, we'll be talking about to them about successful businesses. You keep talking about your failed relationship, we'll be talking about success in life, and let them keep that mess up.
Yeah, I'd be more than happy to go ahead and share that within the group. Definitely, if you're going to start the group, TBA, what I would recommend also is you could have about 2-3 mods. So we can go ahead and monitor the coonery and buffoonery that always seem to slip in. But definitely the 7 a.m. people who donated to 7 a.m. should have first crack at the group.
Yes. And everybody who's donated there, to 7 a.m. are going to get priority.
Yeah, you get priority number one. Everybody else will have to – it'll be just like Studio 54, or you'll have to send in your application in order to go ahead and get into the group. And
now,
if you have someone
saying,
that
– what you were saying before, because we're coming up on my time here, but what you were saying before about the clubs up there, I saw the exact same thing when I was in D.C., saw the same thing when I was in New York. In D.C., it was really shameful because we know gentrification is in full swing there. And in New York, you would never know that black people were being gentrified out of existence by looking at those clubs. You'd never know. They talk about Nero was fiddling.
Yeah.
You would never know that black people are getting gentrified out of existence in New York by looking at the clubs on Saturday and Friday night. You'd never know it. You
and
would
I
think
mean,
that everything in black society was perfectly fine.
Hordes of individuals, TBA, hordes of them, just coming out. I mean, BMWs, cars lined up all over on the side of the street. People are just lined up, coming in and out of this club, spending money. And then we're wondering, well, black people don't have money. Yes, we do have money. We just spend it on the facetious thing. But back to as far as with the group, because obviously I'm not worried about the failures in our society. What we need, if we can go ahead and coalesce that group, definitely, I'd be more than willing to share all the info I have as far as with coding and sites. Definitely, if you're looking to gather information on whatever you're looking for, Google is a wonderful resource, a free resource. You just have to learn to master Google, and you have to learn to ask the right questions when you're typing in Google. And you've got to learn to keep at it. It's basically like, I hate to say this, but when people are searching for illegal downloads as far as with music and movies, you don't give up on the first crack at it. You keep going, you keep coming back to it.
Oh, they're experts at finding that. They can find their porn,
exactly.
They can find their illegal music,
yeah.
Their illegal pay-per-views. But to get some of this legal paper, all of a sudden, oh, man, I don't know how to look for that.
And you know what's so funny, TBA? I mean, if I would understand if you were doing the illegal downloads as far as to build your business or, you know, do something as far as that. But if you're doing it just to download music and you can't even find, like, basic information on what you need, I mean, you really, really need to go ahead and reevaluate everything you're doing on the net. Seriously.
I want to make it – okay, Rick, I want to make an offer based on that, okay?
Yeah.
If you are a young, aspiring rapper out there, I want you to give me a call tomorrow night. I'm going to post that on Facebook here tonight. If you are a – matter of fact, not tonight. I'm going to post it right now. One moment.
Oh my goodness. Here comes all the wannabe rap stars going to be on here tonight. It better not be a coon fest. That's all I got to say. But definitely, if you're ever going to go online and you're looking for information as far as research, you just got to ask the right questions, change your questions up, and just keep at it. Whatever you're looking for, just basic knowledge and information, keep going for it. If you look like when I was looking up Leo Grand, the homeless coder, I just kept at it. So I found out his name, and I found out the individual. I forgot his tutor's name. I went on Facebook, looked him up, found his page. When I found his page, I went ahead and I sent him a message. Found out what books he was using. After I found out what books he was using, I asked him what programs he was using. Found out the Chromebook that he was using. Found the Chromebook on Amazon and eBay, because that's when I went ahead and researched. And I remember what you told me as far as with eBay, TBA, is with the Chromebook, and you go ahead and look up that way. And that's how I was able to go ahead and find out all this information on him, and I was able to go ahead and compile it and share it with a group of brothers that I know.
And see, that's what we're supposed to do. Every black male needs to be a clearinghouse of information. You see, my goal when I was your age was to learn everything I could so that when I met young fellas like you, I could actually give them answers. And this is what sets me apart, is that I can actually give people answers, but I had to do a lot of mistakes. I had to do a lot of learning. I had to do a lot of trial and error and a whole lot of research. And I never backed down from, I don't now. But most black males do, and every black male needs to be a clearinghouse of information. You know how it is on practically every TV show that white folk make? They've always got one white guy who is just astoundingly intelligent. House of Cards, Kevin Spacey, CSI, Grisham, and now I guess Ted Danson.
Boardwalk Empire.
Nucky Thompson. You know, on all their shows, there's always some white dude who is astoundingly intelligent. He knows everything. Black males do nothing to aspire to be astoundingly intelligent. White men keep reinforcing that to their sons, that you need to be the smartest person in the room because knowledge is power, and absolute knowledge is absolute power. They make sure they keep reinforcing that to their kids. We don't do that.
And you know the funny thing, TBA, is when I was looking up all that information, I was sharing it with my youngest brother. I shared it with him, and now he got a scholarship because he's getting ready to go to college next year, and he's going into the computer sciences. I didn't push him toward it, but that was something that he wanted to do now. And
he's realizing that he's got more potential for that than being a rapper. That's why.
Exactly. And you know what?
What we do is we got to get them. I'll let you finish here in just a moment. We got to get these fellas started early because they need to understand early how we can show them that this will produce for them. The problem with the previous generations is they did not communicate to the young people how to make these things produce. I did was teach you all how to learn and then how to make it produce, which is what white folk and Asians do with their kids. Once we teach them how to learn and how to make it produce, brother, we won't be able to stop them. Once they get a taste of real power, nothing else is going to satisfy them. Nothing.
Yeah. And the funny thing about my youngest brother, they tried to put him in special education when he was younger. Come to find out, they said that he wasn't developed, and they were trying to put him in ESL. but he's born here. So my parents fought tooth and nail to that. Come to find out, now he's graduating, he's taking AP courses, and he actually got a couple of scholarships to go to the university of his choice. And with all the information that I dug up as far as with computer sciences and all the programming, I was able to relay that to him, and I was able to be a TBA to him so that now he knows as far as what he needs to do, as far as he needs to learn HTML, JavaScript, HTML, HTML5, and basically he has the grounds, he has a foundation now to go ahead and continue on into his studies. And I told him that you can basically finish school in 3 years if you're not playing around. And he was telling me that he's actually interested in going and doing internships with some of these major corporations down in the city because his school's right near there. He'll just take the bus down there. So, I mean, again, I was able to go ahead and do all this research. Even though I wasn't a computer science major, I was able to go ahead and relay all this information that I had learned and give it to someone who was looking toward that field. So even if you learn all this, just like TBA says, he's a wealth of knowledge, it may not be something that he uses in his everyday life. He can go ahead and relay that and parlay that to me, or he can parlay that to Brother Washington, Draco, Johnny, anybody in the chat room, because it might be of severe importance to you. So don't ever stop learning. If you see something that doesn't even pique your curiosity, it's something that you can go ahead and relate to someone, it's very important that you go ahead and learn it, or at least get a foundation of it, so that you can go ahead and share this wealth of knowledge with someone else who doesn't know yet, because you never know who you're going to run into.
But we as black males don't think that way. Yes. I didn't know Rick Alexis, but I was ready when I met him. Black men treat each other like their fathers and their mothers did. Nobody's ready for you. Nobody's prepared anything for you. So you meet each other, and all you really do is just clunk heads.
Yes.
Because nobody's got any knowledge, resources. Nobody came prepared. This is why so many black men end up with hood rats, and so many black females end up with dusty, deadbeat bums. Because you weren't prepared for him, and he wasn't prepared for you. Now you're just two unprepared people slobbering over each other and making a mess of each other's lives. That's all, because nobody was prepared for anyone. As men, you are supposed to be the smartest people in the room. And this idea, you still call yourself a man and you're dumb as a box of hammers, that day is over. The day where we as black people pat ourselves on the back for being the dumbest people in the room, that is over, man. That's over, especially for us as black males. I'll let you have the last word, brother.
Well, definitely, TBA. Whatever you're learning, and this is what I would highly recommend for anybody, not just the men, but anybody. Whatever you learn, even if you can't use it for yourself, remember, the wealth of knowledge that you learn, you're supposed to pass it on to another person, another one of your brothers and sisters, so that they can have it, and they can learn it, and they can go ahead and utilize it. Because remember, as TBA and Professor Black Truth always tell us, we're all we got. TVA, as always, Black First, and you have a wonderful night.
Black First, thank you very much for joining us here, brother. See, we have to get out of that mindset that, well, if it ain't going to do me no good, I ain't trying to find out. Can I make 2 pennies with it? Well, maybe somebody else can make a dollar. Yeah, I can't make no 2 pennies. I ain't trying to find out, dude. We sit up here and don't try to figure a way to be a credit and an asset to someone else. Your knowledge can make you an asset to somebody else. Your credit, your knowledge can make you an asset to someone else. But the problem is we as black males do not have a concept of what it means to be an asset to someone else. All this dirt digging and groveling and scrapping over crumbs, that's what we got. Instead of us trying to acquire power, wealth, and influence, and knowledge being the first step to that, we instead are just trying to figure out, well, what's in it for me? Try to concentrate on being a credit to your people. Try to concentrate on being an asset to other people. Try to concentrate on being somebody who can help enrich the life of even of somebody you don't even know. It doesn't matter even if they're not born yet. Be ready when they get there. Donald Trump's father did not know what his son was going to do when he got older, but he got power, wealth, and influence, so when it happened, he was ready. And Donald Trump is giving a whole lot of hell today with that generational wealth that he's got a hold of, even to victimize innocent men. Now, what's the counteroffensive, and what are you going to do? Be on the lookout for that group probably coming up here later if I decide to do that, everybody. And for my brothers out there, it's time to be the smartest people in the room. The bad guys are using their generational wealth and making their move. What are you doing? And this concludes tonight's broadcast of the BlackChannel.net radio. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. And until next time, brothers and sisters from around the world, which will be tomorrow night at 7 p.m., remember that black is the future, and the future is uncompromising.